Good evening. The time is 35 minutes after 5 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio KCAW in Sitka. I'm KCAW News Director Robert Woolsey. Joining me in the studio tonight are members of the Sitka School Board. Board President Cass Pook is here. Eric Van Sice is here as well, as well as members of the Sitka School District Administration, Superintendent Mary Wegner, and Business Manager Cassie Olin. And we are doing a bit of a deja vu. Last year, we had a live school board budget hearing on the air, and it worked out pretty well. A lot of folks did call in, 747-5877, with their concerns and questions and requests for Sitka School Board as they make their funding priorities for next year. And we decided to do it again, even though the school budget is not exactly, it's not in nearly as critical a position as it was last year. But the board and the administration are always eager to hear from you. 747-5877 is the number to call. You can post a comment on our Facebook thread, the Raven Radio Facebook page. Post a comment under the Sitka School Board post there. I have it open here on my screen. You can also email us news@kcaw.org. And this is a regular school board hearing and Q&A session. And the district last year, I noted, after this program, prepared a very detailed report and analysis based on what the listening public had to say about Sitka's schools. So now, more than ever, is an opportunity to speak to your elected representatives and their employees to set the course for the Sitka School District for next year. Again, the number is 747-5877. We're going to, get started with Mary and Cassie to sort of set up a little bit the school budget for next year. And when I say it's not particularly dire, it's because it's only a $95,000 deficit, but that's $95,000. So anyway, compared to past years, I know your first year, Mary, was like a $3
million. $3.2
million. Yes, you'll never
forget
that. I will
remember that always, most definitely. Well, we are sitting in a lot better position this year, and I think a lot of that is due to the leadership of the board and the hard work of all of the staff throughout the district in really looking at those non-personnel costs and what can we do to be efficient and still meet our needs working with students. And we're also, with our new budget process, the school board wanted to institute a new budget process a few years ago, and we did a year of research, and we ended on a new budget process called an outcome-based budget. And what that means is that we're looking at what do we hope to get out of the money that we're putting into the different projects and initiatives in the district. And as a result of that, we're able to look at data, make our budget based on our past data, actual costs, not just what costs were maybe 10 years ago that we just kept that budget line item in there. We've been able to streamline and be more efficient. And it is really the work of every staff member who is making a decision about what really needs to be purchased when it comes to non-personnel costs. And, of course, our personnel, we're being responsive to our enrollment numbers and really looking at making sure that as our enrollment declines, so do our staff in proportional numbers.
Cassie Olin, how is this outcome-based budget different than what you've been doing in the past?
In the past, it was a line item rollover budget, which means that whatever the year ended on with that budget, the final budget revision that we normally do in June, we roll it over, and then we make adjustments as needed in regards to any projects or different things that may be going on at the schools. And then we normally would move everybody ahead during their salaries and their steps and lanes, and adjust for insurance and everything that goes along with our collective bargaining agreements. And we would move forward, and when we did that, we would keep things in our budget that maybe possibly we needed an extra, $5,000 for something, and it would stay in the budget. We wouldn't take it back out. We'd automatically just go to that level. And so this way is starting out, it is we base it on data, base it on trend data for the last 3 years of our audited financials. And then we also take into consideration our projected enrollment, which is actually based on data, which is looking at the incoming kids, kindergartners, talking to preschools, talking to daycares, and going off of some figures that we can find through live birth rates and that kind of information to project the enrollment out. And then that those numbers are ran through the foundation formula just like before, and then we build our budget off of that.
This sounds very progressive. I mean, in the line item rollover budget, you were just using the last year's budget as a template for the next year's budget. And is that just totally gone? Are you just building the data from scratch? Or are you just not relying on the template?
We're not relying on the template as much. It's more breaking things down instead of before we broke things down into a function, so how it was used within the school district. So if it was used for instructional purposes or special ed or counseling or however it was done by that way. And now it is done more by a location or a department. So it's more everything is focused into those categories with underneath their location. So somebody asked in the prior years, they'd say, how much does it cost to run Sika High School? Only a few people probably could pull it out of our budget book. I mean, it'd be very hard, and it would take time. Me, I could probably get it really fast. I can run reports on our financial system and give it to you. This way, in the new budget process, you can flip to the first page of the financials on this new document, and it says it's $4.1 million. I'm not even sure. I'd have to look in the book, but I have lots of numbers in my head. I apologize. but now we can define what, every portion of how much Sika High runs and that information.
All right. Thanks, Cassie. I'm going to turn next to our school board members, Eric Van Sice and Cass Pook, for their reaction to the sort of the new budget process. But I want to remind folks that this is your chance to pose questions directly to the school board and the administration about the budget for next year, which I guess I'll lay out the numbers just so people know. We're looking at a budget of $19 million, just over $19 million for next year, and you're down about $1 million, $1.1 million over previous year spending. You're going to be down 2 full-time teachers, down 4 paras. And that's the gist of the reductions there. But when it's all, the bottom line is the district has a gap of about $95,000. And we'll talk more about the transfers and how you were able to tighten up that gap. But let's go now to Cass Pook and Eric Van Sice about how the budget process is going this year. I mean, Cass, you've been on the board
16 years.
Yeah, 16 years now. Is this kind of, do you feel like, are you confident in this new budget-making process?
I really like the new process. It's friendly to look at. It's community members, parents, kids can look at it and be able to track the data and the trends. And Cassie and Mary have done a wonderful job. So much so that when we shared it at on the Hill, when we were lobbying with the representatives and senators, some of them were like very interested in it. So you might hear from some of them because they are also looking at the line items and taking out the wiggle room of the budget to see if they can save some money that way. So I really like the new process, and we started that requested that a few years ago. So very pleased with it.
Eric Van Sice, how are you feeling?
Well, it's been really good being a new member, and I was not on the board when that decision was made to switch over to the budget process. So it was something that, coming in as new board member, all that discussion had already been done. I quite frankly didn't know too much about it, like a lot of people. But having worked with the budget last year, the old style, I guess you could call it, and then this year, I have found it to be much more user-friendly from my perspective. For me, I like to look at the numbers real carefully, and I like to be able to understand them and see why certain funds are being dedicated for this or that. And this process spells it out a lot more clearly. And secondarily, I've been able to get virtually all of my questions answered, which are many at times. I'll talk to Mary or a board member, or especially Cassie, and it's been explained in a way that it's easy to understand, and I think that translates for the public and our staff. So, using the data, it's modern technology. We can look at things more closely, and it's exciting to see how it's going to work out.
All right. The number to call is 747-5877. If you'd like to comment in this school board budget hearing, you can also post a question to the Raven Radio Facebook page or send an email to news@kcaw.org. Mary and Cassie, the budget process is one thing. It is different. I've witnessed the evolution just in covering the school board over the past couple of years. But money is still money, and the budget doesn't make more money appear. It seems like you've been able to do things like have a better grasp of what your fuel bill is going to be based on trends, and you're looking at even stuff like birth data and that kind of thing. It is sort of giving you insight into where you'll be. But was this year kind of a fluke that you had this sort of $850,000 that ought to have gone into reserves, but your reserves were maxed out, so you had $850,000 sort of cashed in various enterprise funds that you were able to pull out? I mean, is this something that is this a trick that the district can pull off every year, or was this just the sort of a one-time deal?
You know, it's a good question. We don't know yet. We do know that we have been really looking at being efficient in our non-personnel budget. This is our third year now of doing that. And we know that we're getting better at it over time. And we also know that we're not trying to do everything anymore. We are trying to be very targeted to support the initiatives that we have and to do them well and with integrity. And so that may cost less money, which could be part of the process. But I think whenever you... we've always had money that in the end we put into our reserves. And so this time we did put it into accounts that we could transfer instead of the reserves. But we did not expect any money last year, and we ended up with $1 million, $850,000 of which we are applying towards the budget for next year.
So, Cassie, if you do brilliant budgeting and everything ends up where it's supposed to be at the end of the year, this kind of $1 million... this sort of windfall won't necessarily be happening. I mean, it seems like over the past few years there has been something has gone down, either the legislature or the city or something has happened where the budget has gotten a little bit of a boost towards the end of the school year. It's been a milder winter. You didn't have to spend as much money. I mean, when you start fine-tuning your budget to the point that you are, you might not have those overages anymore, right?
Yes, that's very correct.
You know this better than anybody.
Yes. it's always a tricky time in June when our fiscal year is ending and we're getting ready to prepare the final budget. And a lot of times when I prepare that final budget, I'm preparing that everybody, all the departments and all the schools, will spend out their budget. And if they don't, which majority of them don't, then with that money gets left over for us to push into reserves. And a lot of the departments and schools did that. So that's where a lot of that extra part of this $1 million came from. Other parts of it comes from a mild winter. We don't know. In June, I haven't received I start budgeting at the beginning of June, so I don't have May's fuel or electricity bills. And so we don't have May or June yet, so those are always where I'm like, does anybody remember if it was really cold at all? Did we use a lot of fuel? So those are kinds of things that I sometimes have to be a predictor of that. And I'm very conservative in those line items because that's one area that we have to keep the schools warm. We have to keep it with water and the sewer, the garbage and everything that goes along with maintaining them. And so a lot of times the utility budgets are the budgets that have remaining money left over at the end, and it's variable of our winter. And as we know, this winter it's been a little bit colder, so I don't foresee our utilities coming in under where they were. They actually will probably be going over due to the situation with the city and the Green Lake Dam, and we were on 2 months with diesel fuel and during some very cold times for the district. So we had a lot of fuel going into the buildings, and so that has played a part in our utility bills this year.
All right. If you'd like to see the proposed Sitka School District budget for FY18, you can go to the Raven Radio Facebook page, click on the this post, the school board budget hearing post, and you can download a PDF of this 45-page document. A lot of it is narrative that describes the new process. But we'd love to hear from you, 747-5877. You can post a comment to the Facebook thread or email us, news@kcaw.org. School board members Cass Pook and Eric Van Sice are here. I'd like to get your reaction to the report from community schools at the last budget hearing. I know the community schools outsourcing was one of the big moves from this time last year. How did you think it is going?
I think it's going well. I think it's going better than we had expected it to. I know Matt. I've known him since he was working with AASB when I started on the school board about 16 years ago. So he was doing community engagement with AASB, and I think he's done a really good job with community schools. I haven't received very many phone calls since we made the change. So I think that the communication with Matt and Mary is good, and whenever problems arise, they are able to work things out so that kids can have access to the building. So I know that happened this year with Keat at playing basketball at Keat through Casey being gracious and working with Matt. So I think it's gone well.
All right, thanks, Cass. We'll come back to you, Eric. We have a caller on the line, Gail. Hi,
yeah.
You're on the air with us with the school board budget hearing.
Hi, thanks for doing this. I haven't had an opportunity to participate in any of the hearings, and I am concerned about restoring the positions that were lost at Blatchley a couple years ago. It looks like one of them was restored, and that was the technology position, but the counselor position has not been picked up and restored. And I believe that that's a critical position that needs to be filled at the middle school level. The continuity that position provides, along with the professional knowledge, is of a huge benefit to the whole community. And I think it has been undervalued. And I know that the students that are being served by the counselor at the elementary level are being well served. I just think that when they get to the middle school level, they also need that professional counselor there. And that counselor, in his or her profession, is able to connect all the different agencies that serve our schools and serve our students, as well as the parents. And so it's a great resource, and it needs to be filled with a professional. And I would hope that the person who formerly filled the position would be put back into that. And, you know, I've had an opportunity to speak with the superintendent about this at the time that that position was cut, and I haven't recently spoken with her. I know she was sincere when she said that would be one of the first positions restored, but I'm just wondering what she sees the timeline to be for that, and if there's been quite a changeover in board members since those positions were cut, and do the current board members know about the need for that position to be filled? Thank you for letting me express my opinion.
Sure, Gail. Thanks very much for your call.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Superintendent Mary Wagner, this is not the first time I've heard someone ask at a board hearing about the Blatchley counselor position. Tell us about that and where things stand, please.
You bet. Thank you for the call, Gail, and thank you for the conversation a couple years ago. So we all care about kids having the support that they need, and I think there's been some misunderstanding about the that there's not a counselor position. There is a counselor position at Blatchley, and that position is as available as it was when before we had to make that cut to kids. And so the previous counselor always worked with a class for one period. So the current counseling position also works with a class for one period. So that level of service hasn't changed. Obviously, what has changed is the level of expertise within the person holding the position. And I will just say that Sitka has a long history of most of our counselors starting without the correct certification and then working to get that certification. So this isn't the fact that somebody was in that position that didn't have certification is not an anomaly for a Sitka school district. But I will say that the position is currently open right now, and we are looking for somebody who is certified for that position. And it's open, and anybody is available to apply for that.
What's the function of the counselor, Mary?
It's a critical function because they have to really be the person that can meet the individual needs of students when something happens that's unique. They also do all the scheduling for the school. They do, as Gail mentioned, connect that person or each child to the resources that are needed. They really make sure that that social-emotional learning, those skills that are so important to academic success, are met to the best of our ability, working with families, working with all of the teachers, kind of the glue that holds it all together. It's a real key position. We are very fortunate in the Sitka schools that we have counselor positions at all of our schools. That is not common. And when people hear that, it's kind of like, what? How did you do that? Kind of like, how did you keep your music teachers? Well, it's because we've always chosen to put the money in the classroom as close as we can to the students. But I do, we all want the most qualified person to be in that position given any situation that we're in. A $3.2 million budget deficit left us with some heinous choices, and we did the best we could with it. And just want to, again, thank the city for stepping up and helping us with that extra $1 million when they did, or it would have been even worse. And it continues to be a vital part of what we need to be able to only have a $95,000 budget is the money that the city is able to help us from the local level. But the position is open, and we are looking for a certified person to fill it.
Thanks. That's Superintendent Mary Wegner. Cass Pook, from a board perspective, I'm thinking this is the third or fourth time now we've heard someone testify about the Blatchley counselor position. Where do you stand on that?
Well, I'm a counselor in behavioral health, so I see the need, especially at the junior high level when there's so many different changes in just development and questions and crisis and bullying and someone just needing someone to talk to. I think it's not just a need in Sitka. This is something that I heard at AASB, that there's a need for social workers in the school. If the legislature would fund that would be great. But, you know, we have to work with what we have. But it is definitely a need, and thanks, Gail, for calling in.
Eric Van Sice, what's your feeling about it?
Well, I feel, again, as a new board member, I view it as a mission-critical position. My preference is to see the highest quality person in there, if we can, from the get-go. I know that there's a building block, or there could be entry level. My preference would be to avoid that and do what we can to have that skilled person that can step right in, because while that person might have time to develop our kids, there's an immediate need. Not that it hasn't been met. I think it is met, but I'd just like to be assured that we've got the very best that we can do. I agree with what Cass said. I think it's one of those public education positions that just absolutely should be and you know established at every school, just because of the benefit. You might have an expenditure for that staff member, but your return benefit is you can't put a dollar value on that.
All right, thank you, School Board Member Eric Van Sice. You're listening to a live school board budget hearing over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. The time is 7 o'clock. I'm News Director Robert Woolsey. I'm joined by School District Business Manager Cassie Olin, Superintendent Mary Wegner, and Board Members Eric Van Sice and Cass Pook. Cass Pook is President of our school board. This is an opportunity for you to call in and get your 2 cents in on what you hope to see in next year's school budget. You can post a comment on our Facebook page, the Raven Radio Facebook page, or email us news@kcaw.org. Last school board meeting, there was a huge turnout of folks in support of the Performing Arts Center and the performing arts, even though that really hasn't been laid on the table this year because the amount of the school board's anticipated deficit next year is only $95,000. But if somebody had a comment or concern about high school sports or activities, now would be a good time. This is a live, actual hearing and Q&A session with members of the school board and the administration as they begin to build next year's budget. Since the performing arts was a big concern last time, I wonder, Cassie, do you have at your fingertips just how much the Performing Arts Center costs and how much of the burden the district has to bear? I'd like to get an idea of why people like to continually come out and remind folks how much service that building gets and the kinds of things it does for the community.
The Performing Arts Center runs currently on a budget of roughly $241,000 for the current year. Roughly $110,000 of that is our contract that we have with the Alaska Arts Southeast. They are a contract to run the technical for the lighting and for different things of that nature, and they also do the custodial work behind the scenes.
They manage the building, basically.
That's Jay Bradley and crew.
Yes,
there.
Yes, exactly. The rest of it is either for insurance, so the PAC is insured just like the rest of our buildings are, and that's roughly anywhere from $15,000 to $17,000 usually is where it ranges, and then the rest of it is on our utilities. The PAC utilities in regards to the electricity, the water, the sewer, and the garbage, it does have its own meter, so it is the actual cost to run it. It runs usually right around anywhere from $30,000 to $40,000 a year, and then the remaining of that is going to be heating it. It is heated in conjunction with the Sitka High School's electric boiler, and then the diesel oil-fired boilers. There are our backups for it. Right now, it is currently based off of square footage. So basically, we do a formula that the square footage of the PAC, total square footage of the whole building, that's how much of the bill goes towards the PAC. Into its accounts, and that basically kind of mix up. A lot of times it depends on how cold of a winter. It also depends on whether or not we are on diesel or if we are on electric. There are a lot of other things. This, the PAC is solely run on the district funds, so it's ran solely on our general revenue. There's no money that is given from the city outside, like community schools and the pool, or the student athletic travel that we get. This is actually ran within the general fund budget that we manage and operate it.
All right. And as I said, thanks, Cassie. Mm-hmm. Cassie Olin is business manager for the district. I'll ask the school board members here, Eric Van Sice and Cass Pook, that the PAC does generate a lot of passions, a lot of very articulate students come out and speak on behalf of the PAC. And I wonder why we have to pay $5 to get into a basketball game, but we can go see our kids play for free in the PAC. Is there something there that we haven't fully thought through with our usage of the PAC that needs to be considered? I mean, this isn't the year when there are a lot of intense concerns over the PAC, but maybe this is the year to sort of relax and think about maybe a better way to create a revenue stream for that building. Eric, you're nodding.
Yeah, it's...
Maybe
it's,
I've heard you say this.
Right, yeah. Some of this may have already been stated publicly. You know, and for the record, I was a strong supporter of the PAC, even when it was... there were cost overruns, and they had to figure things out. I think it is a good time to, you know, to look at the building as far as revenue and how it can... My ultimate dream, not just mine, would be that it's a revenue-neutral building. Ultimately, I would like to see the cost shared, because I look at, I've stated this publicly before, it may not be there right now, but I do view that building as providing an part of the economy, a more sustained economy in our town. However, as Cassie, spoke to, the budget is strictly squarely on the school. I realize it's a school, building, but when you look at the work that I'm just going to think off the top of my head, when we have Roger Schmidt and his the group of folks that work with him, Melinda McAdams, and different, there's so many people in this community that are engaged in the arts, and they bring in, there's the fine arts or there's an arts council here in town. There's a lot of outside venues that come into this town. The Holiday Brass, there's different dance troupes and things like that that really, for a town of a little over 8,000, is remarkable. And I think it's just the tip of the iceberg. And to me, I see that's money being brought into the town. Those are cars being rented, hotels, meals, all those people coming in. And I'd like to see more people have skin in the game as far as paying for it. As far as a gate fee, it's something to consider. I just think that I know that I've had some very, I'll call it colorful discussions with people that have spoke to me. It seems to be always at the dock, but we've built this building, and yes, it is very unique. It's one of a kind, but we built it in a town that doesn't have an economy really to support it. And that's not me saying that. That's some of the stuff that I've heard. And I think to a certain extent there's some valid concerns there that we as a city or a district, we might build things that look good now, but how do we maintain those 10 years down the road? How about when the economy, the cost of housing and all these things impact? But the fact is we have the building, and I think this is a perfect time to get interested users, even those that are against it, to really sit down and figure out what more can we do to keep this not only functioning, but bring in more revenue for the town. Because I think I have a dream of some really big name musician coming to town and putting on a heck of a show. I mean, that's just kind of something in the back of my head. And I just think that it would be nice if the district could have some relief of that financial burden, because I view it as something that's got great potential.
Thank you, Eric. Cass, your reaction to some of the testimony you heard about the PAC?
I've been pretty moved by some of the testimony from the students, past students, adults, and how it builds their self-esteem, in that whether you're young or an adult or old like me, there's a feeling of pride being on that stage. And I remember a story about a student last year that actually moved to Sitka so that he can perform there. And you also have to keep in mind that there's many communities that have auditoriums as part of their school. And we put this out there on the ballot, and the community wanted it. And I think that there would be support for having a price to attend a concert. It doesn't, or any performances that the kids put on there. It's not something that I think is a bad idea, that people would be willing to pay a few dollars. And we also took the message up to the Hill when we were lobbying. When we go and lobby to the House Representatives, Senators, we really push what we have in our community, and that we're able to have a quality education because of the vocational classes, because of the arts that we offer, not we're just not whittled down to the core classes, and that education is important with the vocational classes. And we also talked about the new carpentry, the new covering at the high school where they could do carpentry and more vocational classes, and that there's kids. I know Elias was lobbying with us, and he said he could identify, you know, 5 to 6 kids that probably would not be in school if we did not have that program. So it does keep kids in school, and it's important, and we'll fight for it. I think that we're going to have to look more for local control because we're not getting it from the state. And I think there is support if everybody gives a little bit here and there. So,
yeah, we can talk more about legislative stuff. Cass has been keeping a finger on the pulse of that. Mary Wagner.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment because this morning, this very morning, I had a private concert in the Performing Arts Center with the concert Sitka High School Concert Band that just got back from the Northwest Music Teachers Association conference in Seattle. They wanted to play for me the songs that they performed, and then we had an opportunity to talk about the experience for them. And also, I wanted to know what are we doing right in our music program, and what do we need to look at changing? And it was a really rich conversation this morning. And as I stood there with this private concert, sometimes I have the best job despite some of the challenging part of my job. Today was one of those best job days. I could hear each instrument as they were performing. It was just so beautiful. And as I think about the role, the partnership that the building plays in helping to support each of those sounds to come out as the artist intended it to, it was just breathtaking and memorable for me today. And that would not happen anywhere else. This community has had an interest in investing in the arts from early on, and it's part of who we are. It's part of our economic base. And just like we need gyms for PE, we need a performing arts center for something that has been a community investment in the community and in the schools. And we have excellent partners that help us through the process. I also want to just, as Eric was talking about, really having some partners, specifically with the Performing Arts Center, I just want to share my appreciation with the Friends of the Performing Arts who were instrumental in helping to with the building design and getting some of the bond passage early on. They have really helped to step up and be an active partner with us. And I appreciate that. And I know we don't have people helping us keep the gyms open. So it's kind of a unique role because the gyms are also a community resource. But I do appreciate their efforts, and it is important because, as Cass and Eric mentioned, this is something that is not only the school students, but also the community that can appreciate it.